Well, good morning to all of you that are here this morning. And, as many of you know, that we had scheduled a pastor from Kentucky to come and preach all of our services, and somehow communication got interrupted and it just didn't happen. So we'll have Brother Mike coming in the fall time. So what we have, I just want to share with you real quick. So what we have is it's hard to get a pastor to fill another pastor's spot on a Sunday morning. You can do it on Sunday night, so you have me this morning. But Sunday night, tonight, we will have Brother Michael Griffin from one of the African-American churches. Let me tell you, this church is very quiet tonight, but tonight it will be loud. It'll probably be the loudest. And not because being loud, just to be loud, but it's going to be loud. It's going to be good tonight. He's a good man of the Lord, come out of Chicago. He started church here and doing well. And also on Monday night, we have Ed Cortez, a Spanish guy from Kentucky who preaches in Berea at Gethsemane Baptist Church. He'll be here on Monday night. So he'll come in Monday. He's going to be here Monday night with us. And then we have a big hunter, avid, outdoorsy guy, big Rick Hilliard, be here on Tuesday night. And then if the Lord tarries, I'm not going to push it. Unless the Lord moves, but if the Lord moves, we have a man from Fort Wayne, who is Jamaica descent. He's a pastor from Jamaica, doing all kinds of things. Same things we're doing, just at a bigger level with ministry. So I think we got a good lineup here. I love it for tonight. I love what's going on Monday night. Love it Tuesday night. But we are in our revival. We are beginning revival services. And some of you have been with us where we've actually, I think our first revival, we ended up baptizing 15 people. That was amazing. I forget how many salvations. That was down on State Street. I don't think we've had one as strong and powerful as we've had since then. We've had a few times. We've almost got to that point where we really had that revival experience. And that doesn't mean revival just happens because of baptisms and salvations. But that's an outcome that comes out of sometimes revivals, true revivals. But revivals are when we come back to get closer to God, to draw ourselves closer to Him, to let Him come in and examine our hearts in a way, not just on one Sunday and one service, but for a few days, that we just render our hearts to Him. And you guys know that we put this on our list when we had our fasting through January. We had prayer partners through February, and now we are at the revival stage and we're beginning of that. So many of you have been with us for a long time. We've been around for almost 17 years now. And today, if you have your Bibles, we're going to be in the book of Joel. And I have never preached out of the book of Joel, ever. It is a very complicated, even your research, and you guys that love to do research in your commentaries will find that commentaries are not all in agreement to the time and the dates and the this and the that, but there are a lot of things that are put together by commentary. Many of them believe in the same, so it's good. It is a great book. It is a challenging book. I do challenge you to read it. It does talk about the day of the Lord coming, the day of the Lord, but there's also some other things that are happening here. You guys have heard me preach sometimes that Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy. You heard that many times, me preaching that kind of message. Today I want to share with you, sometimes there's something different that is happening when things happen in our life. Everything that bad happens in your life is not because the devil came and attacked you and is doing that. There are some other things that happen in our lives and we are unsure. Sometimes, you know, we just make bad decisions. How many anybody here made bad choices and decisions? I'm going to raise my right hand and I'm going to raise my left hand. I'm 50 and I've got a lot of them. And you know what? If I can raise my feet right now, I'd say I did that. My wife reminded me yesterday, I made some bad choices in my life. I made some bad choices and I've had to pay for some of those choices. Amen? I just had to pay for some of those choices. But today we're going to look at sometimes God allows some things to happen in your life. Because once you give your life to Jesus, I'm telling you, it belongs to Him. He is an awesome God. He loves you right where you're at. He'll meet you where you're at as a sinner, but He loves you enough not to leave you there. And He's going to take you on a journey that's the journey that He has set for you. But if you go against Him, He's still going to love you. He's not going to leave you because that's the promise of God. He says he'll never leave you, forsake you. But you can't come under his chastisement. You can't come under his discipline. I'm a father of three. I don't whip my boys anymore because now they're big enough that they could probably wrestle me down to the ground. But there was a time that I would have to discipline them as my father disciplined me. And it wasn't because I didn't love him. It was because I love them. And the Bible says he disciplines us because he loves us. Amen? Amen? Some of you, and the thing is, we get so, sometimes we just get so stubborn. Any stubborn people in the house today? All right, Ashley, raise that hand up. Any stubborn people in the house today, Amber? All right, we're all that way. All right. I feel free to preach today, all right? Is that okay? I love you. You're my niece. I can say it because we're related. All right, we're stubborn. And when we become stubborn, we don't let God move in the way that he wants. But God's not going to shift. He's not going to change. The one that needs to change is who? We. And sometimes we don't want to listen. We just keep doing the same thing. And then some of us are so faithful in the church sometimes, we'll come to church, but we're still stubborn. We may even give tithes and offerings, but we do it stubbornly. We just do it because that's what we do. We're doing, we're playing the role, but we're not living out the role that God's called us to live. And so there are things that God allows to happen in our lives. We're not going to talk about Satan coming to steal, kill, and destroy. You're probably going to hear spiritual warfare tonight. Mike's going to bring it tonight, or Michael will. But I want to talk to you today about what the locusts and how God used locusts. Locusts are those little big monster, little grasshoppers from the Acadia family. You can hear them, you can hear them coming. And when they get in the area, they're annoying. Did you know? So God is sending, he has sent these locusts into God's people. And God's going to use them as a discipline piece. But do you know it wasn't the first time, and many of you know that you know your Bible, it's not the first time that God used locusts. Okay? Exodus chapter 10 tells us that that was the eighth plague that God used on the people of Egypt. And a couple more, and then all the people from the Israelites were set, the Hebrews were set free. But the locusts are going to swarm in over Israel, and they're going to cause a disaster like Israel's never seen. And Israel's been used to having armies of people coming in, but locusts is not. Now, some people will say, "No, this is just the Bible using a token or something, a locust to represent a big army and a people." And no, this is locusts. This is locusts. Now, I want to take a side note. Don't get confused and what's going on in chapter 2 if you read it, okay? Chapter 2 is good stuff. It does work with chapter 1. But if you know about Job, you might struggle if you go into it too deep in the beginning. But I want to read here what happens with the locusts here. I want to read to you what they've done, what they're doing, and what God is doing. Chapter 1 of Joel, and there's only three chapters. He said, the word of the Lord came to Joel, son of Pethor. Now I want to tell you, we don't know anything about this guy. That's all we know. That's it. It has not much in Kings. It doesn't tell us the time. It doesn't tell us anything like all the other. This is just right to the point. He says, now today I'm reading on my Holman version. I did last week. I will get back to my New King James version, but here we go. If you can't follow, just follow in your Bible. He says, hear this, you elders. Listen, all you inhabitants of the land, has anything like this ever happened in your days or in the days of your ancestors? Tell your children about it and let your children tell their children and their children the next generation. This is important to keep telling. Here it is. What the devouring locusts have left, the swarming locusts have eaten. What the swarming locusts have left, the young locusts have eaten. And what the young locusts have left, the destroying locusts have eaten. This is a wake-up call for the people of Israel. The locusts have come in, and the first rank of locusts, they'll come in, and they'll hit what they can hit. A second rank will come in, and they'll hit it, whatever's left over. And whatever's left over from that, the next rank will come in, and then the next rank, and everything else behind it is devastated. It's just devastated. Some of the things there, it says in verse 7, it has devastated my grapevine and splintered my fig tree. It has stripped off its bark and thrown it away. Its branches has turned to white. It's eaten these locusts. God has made these locusts to be able to eat the bark off the trees. These locusts had grabbed everyone's attention. The locusts have come and have destroyed and caused total destruction on the land. I'm not going to read all these verses, but here in verse 8 it says, "Wake up, you drunkards." Verse 11 says, "Be ashamed, you farmers." It has a list of trying to wake everybody up. Talking to the priests. You see, these locusts come in and they have destroyed everything. They've destroyed everything. They destroyed all the crops that people planted, all the grass that everyone who had cattle and lambs and who were shepherds and all that that they would eat, the grass and all that stuff now has been damaged and has been torn up and taken away. And now, so everyone is affected by these locusts. If you read in Exodus, you'll see that when these locusts would come in, they would come in and it would just be as day just turned to night. They just come in like a cloud. And they come in and they just come in and whatever's in front of them, they just chow down on. And you can't beat them. And everything is withered and everything is done. And what it does is that affects the people. That affects the people. And what we see here, over here in verse, at the end of verse 12, we see this, that indeed people's joy has dried up. The joy of them has dried up. There's no more happiness. There's no more joy. I'm seeing that in America today. There's not the joy that we used to have. I know it was rough in the 70s. I was kind of raised in the 70s and 80s. I know that. But I'm telling you, there's more joy in the 70s, even though there was a lot of pain and suffering in certain areas, than more than it is today. And it's gotten worse after each decade. People that was in the 50s say, it was a great time in the 50s. People in the 40s would say it was a great time in the 40s. Even though there were war going on, there was still some joy. It is hard to find joy in America today. The locusts have eaten so much in America that it is unbelievable. But we're not going to talk about our country right now. We're going to talk about us. We're going to talk about us as individuals. What he says here is, the prophet says here, he says, announce a sacred fast, proclaim in verse 14 an assembly, gather the elders and all the residents of the land at the house of the Lord your God and cry out to the Lord. Here it is, the locusts have caused damage, and here's how we're going to have to work this out. We need to call a fast and we need to get the house of God. Isn't that what people do? When something is not going great in their life, they run to the house of God. We should do that. But not only when bad things are happening, amen? It should be that today I'm coming because I got some problems. But I was here last week because I love the Lord, okay? But he calls for a fast and he instructs them. I really think today the locusts are eating. They are still eating in our lives because we are not being the people that God's called us to be. You see, we want what God has to offer. We want what God has for us. We want to enjoy His promises, but we won't be the people that He's called us to be because we don't want to do what He's called us to do as individuals. We are bucking God's ways. We are bucking God's word. And when we do that, we get upset because things aren't going well for us. And so what happens is the locusts come in and they eat everything that is in our path. And we wonder, Lord, how come you're not blessing me? Lord, how come I don't have no joy in my life? Listen to me. How come I don't have no joy in my salvation like I used to? We need to get to the place where we listen to what God has to say. Amen? Because we think too much. We think we're smarter, and we're not that smart. People are not that smart. We are not that smart. We have more problems in America than most countries in the world. They may be poorer. We may have more money than them. We may have better houses than them. We may have 2.3, 2.5 cars in the parking lot, more cars than them. But we got more problems than them. Because we will not live the way God wants us to live. We want to whine and cry because we don't have X amount of dollars in our savings account. We stop trusting God. We stop trusting God when we're sick. We stop trusting God in everything because we think this America has the answers. It does not have the answers. Right. What the locusts have eaten in America is just amazing. And America is married as families. And America is built up on Christian families. A lot of lost people, but Christian families. And we are losing the battle in living a righteous life for Christ. So the locusts come. The locusts come and they devour. And they will eat everything in your path, everything in your life. I have a manual that I've been reading, and I've read it. It was 88 pages. I read it over the weekend. I read it on Saturday. This manual tells me that we as a ministry can go and we can fill out papers that we can get money from what the government, Indiana State, says is called Recovery Works. I'm going to tell you what it is because it ain't no secret. But I think it kind of is what they want it to be, a secret. This Recovery Works is to help people who are on drugs, who come out of incarceration, or who is an alcoholic, have had addictions. What happens is, if you get out of jail at 30 days of prison, that you can apply for Recovery Works if you don't have insurance and all those things. You see, America is trying to, I would call, enable us all. But I'm not going to go there. But I will say this, that those funds is for to find to help you if you have an addiction to get yourself and your life find yourself where you can find recovery, help, housing, and all that. I'm sitting there looking at it, and it looks very tempting because you guys know that we do struggle with keeping our homes and our ministries all going. It says that we can fill out the paperwork, that we can get $31.50 a day per person that's in the Lifehouse per day. That says that we can make over $900 on 30 days. We can make $900 for every lady that comes through our Women's Lifehouse a month. It says every time we take them somewhere that you can get paid $9 for every driving trip if you use a so-called ministry vehicle. Not your, but a ministry vehicle. Oh, there's all kinds of, then you can rack it up. And it becomes a moneymaker. And I come in there and there's this piece that you can sign off. And it says you can keep all your religious activities and what you do, and you can do those things. It looks like, for the first part, it looks like, yes, this is a great piece. But we got to know one thing. It changes. The government changes. And they already said things are going to change this year concerning this. Now I'll tell you why I'm talking about this in a moment. It also says that if you are a provider, that you have to work with somebody who is above you, that is the provider piece. I'm not going to say what the agency here is names in town, but I will tell you this. That means they tell us what we can and cannot do. That means that they have to give us, they will give us people that we would have to take. We are not a mental institution, but I believe in America has a lot of mental issues. We have a lot of mental problems. They would be giving us people that we cannot work with, and we will not be able to do what we are called to do. Now I'm going to put myself way out there, and I'll probably get a phone call if somebody listens to this online. There are 4 shelter programs in this city. 1, 2, 3. Soon to be 5. We're going to be the only one that's not taking it. Two of them are taking it. One's opening just to take it. The other one is, I can't get too personal on this. The other one is just, they're getting ready to do it. I'm going to be the only ones not taking this money. And because I looked at it, and a friend of mine who said, this is going to change. You know what I'm happy? God's word never changes. God's word never changes. So what I'm reading from here, I know it's the truth. I know it's the real deal. I know that it is what has been said 2,000 years ago is still true today. Now, I'm not saying that's wrong for every program out there, but that would be wrong for us to take this program. This is a Jesus birth vision. Amen? And so we need to. So what I'm saying is the locusts have come in and have taken many people, and what it is to be able to help them, and we get kind of pressured on the right and to the left to be able to try to take things like this special funding, and we'll take away all your problems with funding. Really? I think if we would take that, then the locusts would come in. I'd rather deal with the other problems than if God allows the locusts to come in. So we have this problem in the church house today. We have this problem in our families today. Because listen, what has the locust taken from you? What has the locust put damage on the things in your family when it swarmed in because you weren't living right? I'm not saying bad things don't happen to good people. I'm not saying bad things and tragedies don't happen when you're living righteous. They do. Those things are going to happen. But there are some that are uncalled for because we're not living the way that God's called us to live. And those locusts come in, and they just come in and it swarms in, and God allows that to happen. And so what happens is we end up with all kinds of problems that we shouldn't have had in the beginning because we're stubborn, because we want to do it our way. Listen, if you think you're smart, you need to take that mindset, that thought out of your brain. We're not that smart. And actually, we're not that faithful. We think that we're faithful to God, but we're not that faithful. Yet we want all of his promises. And God is faithful, even when we're not. The Bible says even when we're faithful, he is still faithful. Because he cannot deny himself. Because there's a piece of you. It's a piece of him that's inside of you called the Holy Spirit. But God has an answer. But I know that God is, he's our biggest fan. He's always rooting us on. Rooting us on to get on his path. But there are some things that the locusts have eaten up in your life. How many of you all started with your whole family starting to go to church and you were good, and all of a sudden people started drifting, your family members started drifting off? How many of you noticed that when your church attendance and your Bible study and your prayer life starts going down, everything else around you starts going down? God has a remedy for that. And he speaks into this book of Joel. He speaks into it in chapter 2. Even though there's another part there about another army coming. That's a physical army. But here is how he says to fix this. This is how he says. Because listen, you cannot stop the locusts on your own. You can't stop. And I said I wasn't going to talk about it. But you cannot stop Satan from attacking you. You can't. If you could, we would have saw it in the book of Job, and he would have won. Yeah, you get what I'm saying, right? But there is a call called a call of repentance. A call of repentance. In chapter 2, he says this in verse 12. Even now, this is the Lord's declaration. This is the Lord's declaration. He says, turn to me with all of your heart. That's not turn to me with your finances. That's not turn to me with just your attendance in church or turn to me with some good music. It's turn to me with all your heart. Okay? Turn to me with all your heart. We're supposed to render our hearts. Turn with me all your heart with fasting, weeping, and mourning. Now, weeping and mourning is something that we struggle with, but we have fasted here many times. We usually do it always in January and maybe one or two times through the year. But fasting is always a good thing. It is difficult at times, but it does draw us closer to God. It gives us some more of awareness of what's going on spiritually. Amen? It always does. But I think that is important. Because what happens? Can I get into your mind for a minute? That's a scary thing. How many of you got into a, how many of you've got a, something that you're struggling with in life? You got this, and all of a sudden your thought, your brain starts processing. And you start processing this problem. And in that, in your brain, so I'm jumping in your brain, and all of a sudden I see you like, this is a big problem. And I'm starting to see, wow, you got all kinds of choice. You've thought about doing it this way. You thought about doing it that way. If I do this, this is what's going to happen. I'm going to make a decision. I'm going to talk to so-and-so and see what they think about it. Am I in your brain yet? I'm going to pray about it. Lord Jesus, be with me. But I'm going to give it to you today. And I'm like looking in your brain. You never gave it to God even though you said you did. And you're sitting there thinking, and this problem was starting this, and you yourself in your brain, I'm watching you in your brain, you made it get this big. It was never that big in the beginning. Not saying problems aren't big, but it's gotten bigger because you made it bigger. Your brain made it bigger. You thought about it way too much. And you had the answers in your brain. I want to say, hey, remember that thought about praying about it? You only spent like 10 seconds on that part of the process. You're letting all the wheels and the gears spin and everything, and you're thinking about it so much, you're sleeping through it, and smoke is coming out of your ears. And you wake up with that same thing. No wonder why we have such a hard time doing what we're supposed to do. And so we can't fix it. But we have all kinds of ways to try to do that, don't we? Don't we? Don't get me wrong. Sometimes it's good to get advice from somebody. Sometimes it's good to get advice from two people. But before you get advice, you need to be praying about it. You need to really learn what it means to lay it down. But we have a hard time doing that because our heart is not where God wants it to be. If you're not attending and you're not worshiping and you don't have a good balance in your life about Jesus inside your heart, that's what your mind's going to do. Exactly what we just talked about. It's going to burn, it's going to spin, it's going to twist, gears are going to move, and smoke's going to start coming out, and you're not going to know really what to do. And then we make the problem even worse. He says in verse 13, he says, tear your hearts. Basically, it also says, rend your hearts, but not your garments. It's not a showcase where they would do this all the time. The Bible says they would tear their coat, they would tear their clothes, their upper cloth, their over garment, and they would fall down before the Lord, throw dust on them, and just kind of repent in that way and do that. And God's saying, all right, I've seen that, get that, and it works for some. But here he says, I don't want to see the outside part just getting cleaned up. It's about the inside. That's why the locusts come. It's because what's inside of your heart? Your heart is not filled with Jesus, but it's filled with everything else in the world. Listen, what I just explained to you and described to you, that's the problem in America today. We want to, in our brain, we step inside of each other. We don't do that, but inside of our brains, what we have is we are having conversations about, I want to do this thing, and I have temptation, and I'm going to do it. And so we rationalize sin to make us not feel guilty. Did you know lying is still wrong? Just saying. Lying is still wrong. Those Ten Commandments, they're still good. Just letting you know, they're still good. But in America, we've rationalized it so much. Christians are beginning to follow. We are supposed to follow what our government says, but we're letting their morals lead us in our moral life and how we process morals. Listen, our moral compass is God's Word. Amen? And he comes to this point, and he says, tear your hearts, not just your clothes, and return to the Lord your God. Return to him. Here it is. It's awesome, because he says, for he is gracious and compassionate. What is stopping you? What is stopping some of you from getting back to where God had you, at one place where you were just working it? You were doing it. You were just living life the way God wanted you to. You felt the blessings. You were excited. You were walking. You were excited. Some of you are in a really depressive hole right now. Now listen, so you can get discouraged. I've been discouraged, but listen, I'll tell you this. When I know that I'm getting discouraged, I'll tell you what, as a believer in Christ, I still have a peace. There's still a peace inside of me. Where does that peace come from? It comes from the Holy Spirit. It's going to be all right. I'm going to get through this valley. But when you're not walking with God, when you're going through that and you're discouraged, I'm telling you, you feel alone because you are alone. You made yourself alone. God never left you. You left him. You ain't got your joy because you let it go. You're the locust of coming to eat your joy, your happiness in God. You used to sing songs in the car for Jesus. Now you don't anymore. Y'all know what I'm talking about? And he says, when we return to the Lord, he says, for he is gracious and compassionate. That's the God I know. You know him as that as well. But he also is a God of discipline. But he says, for he is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, and he's rich in faithful love. Run back to Jesus. That's what we need to do. Run back to Jesus. Run to the Lord. Listen, I know some of you had some horrible things happen in your life. And there are so many people that have shared horrible things in their life. Some of those people choose, many of those people choose to blame God, walk away, or just say, you know what, if there's a God, that would have never happened. If God is loving, why would he allow that to happen? Listen, sometimes that is a part of life. Bad things happen to good people sometimes. Bad things happen to all people. But sometimes things happen because we're not living the way God called us to live. We choose to do something. If a person decides to go drinking and they're driving and something happens, and I've seen it happen, and someone dies or is in the hospital and everybody gathers around them to pray, that's a good thing to pray. But there's consequences to the sins that we commit, even as a believer. The locust will eat everything in front of you and around you and in your life. But we need to make sure that our hearts are right and rendered to God, not to the world. Our hearts need to be rendered to the morals of God, not to the world. He says, gather the people, sanctify the congregation, assemble the aged. I like this part. He says, assemble the aged. He also says, gather the children. Even the nursing, those who are nursing at the breast, let the groom leave the bedroom and the bride for her honeymoon chamber. Let them all leave. Why? Because it's a problem. Everyone's got a problem in this area, and we need to work this out, and we get it right by getting right with God. If you want to be free, you want to get that freedom that God has for you, you got to let yourself free into Him. Well, when you control it, you're controlling your life. Only one person could sit in the driver's seat. Amen? And if I'm flying in an airplane, it better not be me. It better be somebody who knows how to fly an airplane. And in this world, I am one person out of billions of people that's walked on this earth. If I think I've got the answers for humankind, I am mistaken. There's only one that knows human beings better than all, and that is God the Father. Amen? He's created Adam and Eve. He's been working through people since the beginning. You've not got the first problem. You're not going to surprise Him by any problem that you got. He's been dealing with people, and the problem's just a different face and different name. The difference is, will this person let God do the work in their life, or will they choose to let their mind process it and make their own choices? And that is for you today. He says, gather the people. But he also says, let the priests, the Lord's ministers, weep and between the portico and the altar. And let them say, have pity on your people, Lord, and do not make your inheritance a disgrace and an object of scorn among the nations. Why should it be said that among the people? Here it is. Why should it be said? Where is their God? And that's what people are saying today. Where is their God? They live like us. They act like us. They just go to church and we don't. But they live like us, and they act like us. They go to the same places that we go to. And so the locusts come and eat. Where you are when you're by yourself, there your character is determined. And I don't mean to be hard, I'm just saying. Where you are when you're by yourself, there your character is determined. You can showboat and put a mask on in front of everyone, but you can't put one in front of God. He sees you as you are. He sees you as you are. And if we repent as the way God calls us to, as we render our hearts, not just our garments, but our hearts, and we lay it before the Lord. And sometimes we would say, I don't have any sin in my life. My conscience doesn't tell me. The Bible says if your conscience is clear, it does not make you innocent. So there's been times in my life, I said, Lord, I don't see anything in my life, but I've also prayed this. Lord, if there's anything in my life, y'all been there? Lord, if there's anything in my life that's hindering me from being all that you called me to be, Lord, bring it to the point. Bring it where I can see it so that I might repent from it and seek forgiveness from it. We see that in chapter 2. We see the armies coming. We see all of that. God shows us how to get it right. We render our hearts to Him. And when we do it in the right way. We don't have time, but He says He'll come and He'll stop the invaders. He'll come and He'll restore the land that has been taken from you. And He'll preserve you among His people. Okay? And then He goes on through. And He says this, and He says this in chapter 2. He says, after this, and we know that this has actually happened because it is also said in Acts chapter 2. He says, I will pour out my spirit on mankind. Y'all know that part, right? And Peter begins to preach that great message. This fulfilled. There's a promise in this book that was fulfilled in Acts. But he said, I will pour out my spirit above all humanity. And verse 32, he says, then anyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You may not think you need Jesus every day of the week, but I'm telling you, you do. We've gotten comfortable in this area that we feel like, that as long as things are going good, everything is good. It's not. There is a day that is coming called the day of the Lord, when the Lord will do all that He's going to do, and everything is going to happen, and there will be a day that we will stand before God. And there is a place here that it talks about a place here. He says this, multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decisions. Now listen, that decisions is not for you and I. We made our decision. When we're walking on the earth, this is after we've all lived our life on this earth. We made our decision, but God is making His decision, and our decision is made basically on what we made here. Is Jesus going to be my Lord and Savior, or am I going to do my own thing? And he says this, for the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision. All those who are lost, God's going to make that decision. You are lost, you're separated from me. But for the believer, he says this in verse 10, let even the weakling say, I am a warrior. We need to be able to say, I am a warrior for the Lord Jesus Christ, even in our weakest moments, because we know that when I'm weak, what? I am strong. And that doesn't mean in sin, but it's when I'm weak, when things are not going great for me and I feel weak. But you know what? In my weakness, He is made strong. We are made strong through Him. Listen, I need more of Jesus in my life. The theme for this year is I need to grow up in Jesus, and I start right here. I need to grow up in Jesus. And I know that bad things are going to happen, bumps are going to happen, and you know what? I've got to learn, and you've got to learn to praise the Lord in the dumpy, grumpy days. And the bad days, and those days where you feel like you got set back. Listen, I know from time to time, and even right now, these ministries struggle with finances. But I'm always reminded of this. He called us to do it, and He will supply it. He will supply the funds. He will supply those things. And the part of growing up is to be able to realize it's all the Lord's. And if it goes down, it's because He allowed it and He wanted it too. Can't nobody shut down what the Lord opened. Amen? Can't nobody shut what God's opened. And can't nobody open what God's shut. Locusts have come in. They've come, and they've eaten enough off your life. They need enough out of your family. And if your life is good and your parents aren't here, and your parents aren't here, or they're not believers, or not going, you need to be weeping for them. Because time is ticking. They're older than you. If they ain't made their decision for Jesus, listen, many of them are sitting home right now laying up. I call it laying up. And you can lay up all you want until the day you can't lay up no more. Let me tell you something. Power moves the heart of God. Prayer moves the heart of God. And we ain't praying with a hungry heart. We ain't praying with a rendered heart. Listen, I was praying for someone. I'm not going to give you the name. I was praying for someone. And I was praying for more for my need than them. If any of you are a parent, you know what I mean. You're praying more for that person than you are for their salvation. Then you're praying more for yourself than for them. We need to be praying for people for them. Let me tell you something. A lost person can be a nice-looking person. A lost person can be a great sports person. Professional. A lost person could be on airplanes, be mayors, be all kind. Lost people, if you're lost, you're lost. It don't matter what you look like. It don't matter what your name is. It don't matter where you live. It don't matter who you are, what your last name is. If you're lost, you're lost. If you don't have Christ, you don't have Christ. But if you have Him, it becomes a great responsibility to live as Christ called you to live. The locusts have eaten. I'm going to tell you the sign. If the locusts have eaten a lot in your life, look at me now. I would say this. One sign is you've lost your joy in the Lord. You've lost your joy in the Lord. You say, well, how do you get that joy back? It's not something really that you can do. It isn't like a light switch that you just flip on and off. It's not like a car where you put a key in and you turn it. It takes more effort than that. It takes something that's so precious, it's the most important thing about yourself, because God doesn't care about all those other things as much as He cares about what's inside of you. It's that heart that you have. It's you. It's your soul. It's your person inside of you. It's you. That's what He wants. That's what He came and died for you. He wants you to give it the heart back to Him. Jesus is a heart collector, and every heart is unique in itself. It's unique in itself. God has given much to you. And if you have no joy in the Lord, I guarantee you this, much of it is because you've not given much to Him. And I'm not talking about serving Him, I'm talking about yourself. Because you can serve Him all the time and not have joy in the Lord. It's not about what you do and what you don't do. That's not what we're talking about today. What it is about your heart. We need to render it to the Lord Jesus Christ. The locusts have eaten from my family from time to time. And I would bet that the locusts have eaten from your family from time to time. And the only remedy is this, coming to the Lord and laying it at His feet and praying over it. But before you pray over it, the closer you draw to Jesus, let me tell you, as a Christian, the closer you draw to Him, the more reverence that seems to come out of that. What I mean by that is this, the closer you draw to Him, when we're not living right, many times we have a fear of the Lord, and it is a good fear of the Lord. We should have a fear of the Lord in some sense. Because the closer we come to Him, the more our true self is revealed. John fell like a dead man before the Lord. Isaiah said, oh my. Does the same thing. Don't think you can get ever so close to the Lord that you've arrived. You won't arrive until you arrive. Amen? Today this message is about the locusts and what they've eaten. They can be stopped. But it's only by heart condition. If you don't have Jesus Christ in your heart as your Lord and Savior, today that considers, the Bible says, you're lost, doomed, and separated from God for eternity. You're separated from Him. And today you're separated from Him. You may reap the blessings of the sunshine and the nice weather from time to time, and the blessings that God puts upon the land and that God puts in other people's lives. You have that blessing. But you don't have the blessing of eternal life. It only comes through Jesus Christ, His Son. That's what Christmas and Easter is all about. The birth and death and burial and resurrection of Jesus Christ to be the ultimate sacrifice. But my question for you is, are you tired of the locusts eating your life? Now we're going to have a moment, what we call an altar call. If you'd like to come, we're going to have that moment. We're going to have you stand here in a second. What that looks like is we're going to stand and we're going to sing a song. The song will be played. And if you'd like, you can bow your head, close your eyes, and just ask the Lord to speak to you in whatever way. But we have a moment where we ask, if you'd like to come down and you want to pray before the altar, you can do that. If you want to come down and I'll pray with you, you don't have to tell me what the problem is, but I'll pray with you. Sometimes it's always good to pray with someone else. But also, if you have not had Jesus Christ in your heart and you need that salvation is offered to you today. But all you got to do is Jesus says, come. Jesus would always say, come. All you are heavy, burdened, come. I'll make you fishers of men. Jesus was always saying, come. Jesus has done His part. Now we must do ours. Amen? As a lost person, you need to be saved. As a Christian, you need to step up sometimes and say, Lord, I need to render my heart back to you and restore the joy, Lord. Restore the joy that I had in you, that I might get excited about my salvation and who you are again once more in my life. If you're waiting for God to make a move, He's already made a move in your life. You're here today. Quit being so stubborn. Thank you. Amen. Let's go ahead and stand.